The Bible, Isaiah 43, will be our text this night. Isaiah 43, we will read from verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 43, 1, 2, and 3.
But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee.
When you are going through difficulties, sometimes it appears you forget what is written in the Bible. You kind of get engrossed in the problem. You're struggling. You're trying to figure out how you can get out of that problem. You are under pressure. You are covered by the clouds of the pains that you are going through. And sometimes the scriptures don't come in readily. They don't appear to be visible. They don't come to your mind. And don't be afraid. Don't mean anything to you at that point in time. Fear is something that Satan uses to draw away the Christian from his faith. Mm-hmm. Once fear comes, faith disappears. Once there's fear, you begin to wonder if God is still there. Fear has a torment. Fear has pain. Fear has the ability to drive us away from God's presence. And when fear comes, instead of running toward God, you start running away from God. And you begin to ask yourself, why? Why that? Why? I've been reading the Word of God. I had faith. I thought I had faith. Why is it that I'm not able to hold on? Why is fear tormenting me? So tonight, we want to stress the fact that God will always be there.
Amen.
Even in the valley, God is God. Amen. God is good. In the bad times, God is good. God is good all the time.
Amen.
And so if we can hold on, if we can trust the more, we can defeat fear. Amen.
Amen.
So this evening, I just want to speak to us on the thought, God will go with you through the fire. God will go with you through the fire. Let us ask for his support. Lord God Almighty, tonight you see our hearts, you know our standings before you. You know what we're going through, and you choose to speak to us today. Lord, speak clearly. Speak, O Lord, that we may understand. Speak to our spirits, O Lord, that we all may receive strength in our souls. Where we are weak, that we may be strong, and that the enemy may be put to flight. Thank you, Father, for giving us this thought. And I pray that you give the unction, the utterance, so that, Lord, O God, I will speak not from my head, O Lord, but from the heavenly throne. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus Christ's name I have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah here speaks of God's love toward us. And I always believe that man has little understanding about the love of God. God's love toward man is so great. And sometimes you're not conscious of it. You're not conscious of the love of God toward you. Unless you go through some experiences, you don't come to that consciousness that God loves you so much. And I want to add that it is when we go through pains that we really get to know who God is. When we go through sufferings, when we go through some unusual circumstances, God is revealed. God's love is revealed in those circumstances. And so the bigger your trial, the greater your testimony. So God's love is so great. And when you read the pages of the Bible, you see God trying to reassure man that he loves you.
Amen.
He loves him. He cares about him. God is making, always making the effort to draw your attention, my attention, to the fact that we are the center of his creation. We are the reason why the sun shines. We are the reason why the moon shines. We are the reason why the rain falls. We are the reason why we have the green grasses. We are the reason why we have everything that makes the world beautiful. And it is God that made it so. And just for man, just for man. When he created man, the Bible says he puts him in a garden. And he furnished the garden with everything in there. And says, look, have dominion. Take this, keep it, do whatever you like with it. So we see that from the beginning, God loves us. Yes. God's love to us is immense. We cannot measure it. So when he comes to you and he tries to explain his love and his care for you, I pray that we will be able to understand. Because when you can fathom God's love, it establishes you. It establishes your faith, and you can see that there's no other place to go but to stay with the Lord. Amen. So you see here, God telling his people, he says, but now thou said the Lord that created thee. Amen. He's the one that created us. We must not forget that. And he created us for a purpose. O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Let me tell you, whenever you hear the Bible talking about Jacob, O Israel, it's a way of remembering his covenant with his people. Mm-hmm. When he uses the word Jacob, he is trying to record his love and his special consideration that he has given to his children. And those words are loving words, caring words. He wants to draw your attention. He wants you to remember that, look, I am your father. I am your God. I care about you. And that is what he's trying to say here. I have called thee. He says, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. And I said, I'm going to be amplifying what the choir has already given to us. Don't be afraid. There are many things that will make you to be afraid. And you can sing it and sing it and sing it and still be afraid. Yes. And you know, you go to work and you are told that you have no more job and you don't have a job anymore. You know what will come to your mind. It takes the grace of God to stand. I don't know how many of us have ever lost our jobs. One morning I went to work, and as I got to my office, a letter was right there on my table, and I opened it, and it's, your services are no longer required. And that day was my daughter's birthday, and I had planned to celebrate that birthday in a very wonderful way. And a sack letter is there. I'm holding it in my hand. Even though I had a premonition that I was going to lose my job, God always have a way of preparing us for, you know, for dangers. I had the premonition that I was going to lose my job. The signs were there, so I was already waiting. But it took so long, 3 months. When I first had that feeling, it took another 3 months or 4 months before it came. So I prayed and I gave God thanks. And I went straight to the an eatery. I bought a cake for my daughter's birthday. Got home, called everybody, and we celebrated. I didn't tell anybody what happened. I just wanted us to be happy. Praise God. And I remember that God had said, be not afraid. Don't be afraid, because I am God. You know, before that time, I worked in a place where people get sacked every time. You know, there are no jobs. So if you have one, you try to keep it. And your employers can threaten you anytime. They can tell you, go away. So everybody was afraid. So every month, somebody gets sacked. Every month, somebody gets sacked. But I told my colleague, I said, God gave me this job. And nobody's going to take it away from me unless I'm done. So when I go to church on Sunday, I won't come to work on it. It's 1 p.m. in the afternoon or 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and they don't like it. So you have to come to work 12, 1, you have to be here. I say, no, I can't be here by 12. I can't be here. It's a Sunday. I'm not supposed to be working on Sunday, but I have to work, but I have to go to church. I have to do my job here in church. When I'm done, and I will come to the office. Amen. Praise God. I did that for 12 years And I said, if this job was given to me by God, and I'm not afraid that if you want to take it, take it. If God says take it, just take it. And people used to call me and say, you don't look like somebody working in this company. You work so, you're so relaxed. You are so relaxed. You're so free. You do the job without stress. And then you can come to your boss and he shouts at you and he talks. And you just keep quiet and then you just answer him quietly. And what do you want me to do? Okay, I'm going to do it. Because God taught me how not to be afraid. One day we were holding a revival service in one of the communities where we're building a new work in the place. I work as a journalist, and I was not aware that the heads of states, the West African heads of states, will be meeting in the city that day, and I was supposed to be there to cover the assignment, but I was not aware of that. So I was busy trying to put up, with the work that we're doing there, trying to hold the meeting and then the preaching service. So I was busy. It was about 2 days, 3 days. I never really had time to look up what was happening. So on the Saturday night, when it was about 10 p.m., I got a call from my office. I hope you were at that meeting of the heads of government. I hope you have filed that report. Please do that quickly. I was not there. I didn't know what happened. The following day was Sunday morning, and I will have to be in a place where we had invited souls. I had a choice. Pack your bag, run away from here, try to find out what the story is and quickly file it. Or just stay focused. Finish up what you have to do here, and then go back and face the consequences. So I went on my knees, I prayed, I said, I choose the latter. There will always be presidential meetings. Well, this one, I don't know. I have to face it. If God is God, then he will take care of me. So Sunday morning, we went to church. I didn't even remember it. I didn't remember the trouble. I didn't remember because I was too overwhelmed by what was going to happen on Sunday morning. And when we were done, I got into the car and I was going to the office, and I remembered that I was going to face a query in the office. So as I was driving home, to the office, I was praying. I said, God, take control. I don't want to be afraid. So I got to the office, walked into the office, picked the newspapers quickly, flipped through and see where other newspapers had used it, big and all that. We saw other newspapers published. We didn't publish. So the other young man who covers the state house, he was there. He was supposed to be there, but he thought I would be there, so he didn't go. So he called me and said, were you there? I said, I wasn't there. So I said, okay, let me go and greet my boss. So let him finish with me and let me know where I went to him. I spoke to him. We discussed other issues. He didn't mention it. I came back to my seat. I sat down. As I'm talking to you, he has never remembered that thing. He never remembered it. Praise God. As I speak to you, I have seen God work miracles. And every time I'm afraid, I feel like I've sinned against God. The fear of the future is the greatest fear young people go through. Young people think about their tomorrow so much. The older people regret their yesterdays. But young people, they always think about tomorrow. Oh, I don't want to. I want to be this. I want to do this. I want to do that. Oh, somebody's trying to compromise my future. Somebody's trying to take away. They are afraid. I want to tell you, some people don't want to serve God because they fear that if they serve God, they might miss out on something. Mm-hmm. You are just being afraid. I want to tell you something about fear. You know, I went to the bush. You know, we used to go to the bush. When you want to go to the toilet, you go to the bush sometimes. And they and so it was dark, you know, it was the bush. So as I was trying to do the thing, and there was this shadowy thing standing somewhere. And I was alone in the bush. Fear came to me. What is that thing that is standing there? I was not comfortable. I was just afraid. I looked at it. It looked like something, but I don't know what it is. So I tried to find out. You know what I did? I took courage. I said, I'm going there. I want to see what that thing is. So I walked up there and used my hand. It was just a bunch of grass. So you can see what fear can do. And I wonder what I would have done ordinarily is to hold myself, pack my things, and go home and not do what I came to do, because something is just there trying to frighten me. A lot of times, fear is like that. It's not there, but you think it's there.
Right.
So God says, be not afraid. Because many times you lose out on what God has for you when you are afraid. You run to the wrong direction when you are afraid. We had an incident in Nigeria many years ago, a military cantonment where they stored rockets and bombs. Something happened there and the bombs were exploding. And then the whole city of Lagos went wild and everybody was running. And those who died by the bombs were just very few. But those who were killed by fear were in thousands. They were running into the lagoon. They didn't care. They were running away from the bombs. They didn't bother to find out the direction. They just heard explosion and they started running. And they all went into the lagoon and died. It's still happening. When Satan frightens you, you run to the wrong direction. Because you will not be able to stand and say, where is the way? Where is the right way? Where do I go? And when you start asking that question, you have to direct that question to the right person. And when you have asked your question, you need to listen for an answer. And when you have fear, you hear noise. When you have fear, you hear noise. You don't hear anything but noise. Because you hear sounds from different directions. Oh, we heard, excuse me. We heard something is happening here. You'll be listening to rumors and not the word of God. So when God says, fear not, it is to establish you, to strengthen you, to help you, to make you strong, to make you think again and say, where am I going? I'm going to stand with God. Amen. Fear not. When it comes out from the lips of the Almighty God, you can count on it. You can depend on it. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Anyway, you have reasons to be afraid if you are in sin. I remember as a sinner, I went to the farm one day with my father. And I've been hearing the messages, come and be saved, come and be saved. And I was not ready for that at that time. So one day I got to the farm and I was trying to check through my traps. I used to set some traps and I caught some skewers, a skewer, and I was very happy. I took it out from the trap and I was roasting it. While I was doing that, suddenly I felt my body change. And then I started feeling feverish. And I felt sick suddenly. And I had some of my friends who came with me to the farm. And then in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes, I was like going to die. So I had to leave the farm, but you know, I had to trek a distance of about maybe 15 kilometers or so. And it was terrible. I couldn't stand on my feet, so let alone walk. Nobody could carry me. I was bigger than all the people that came. All my friends that came with me to the farm, they couldn't carry me, so I have to walk. Walking means I have to fall down, get up, fall down several times. I thought I was going to die. I had reasons to be afraid because I was in sin. And I had been told that if I die, I would go to hell. So I was afraid. And I started praying. I said, God, please don't let me die. Today, I don't want to die. If you heal me, if you keep me alive today, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give your life to you. I started praying. You know, it was fear. Because as soon as I got healed, I forgot my promises. You have reasons to be afraid if you are not right with God.
Amen.
You have reasons to be afraid. But if you know that you are God's and God is yours, you belong to God, you have no reason to be afraid.
Amen.
And so, whatever happens to you, God is there with you. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And God is so wonderful. And sometimes you wonder why God should even let you go through the fire. Why should God let me go through the waters? Why? Why should I have to go through the Red Sea? Why not the other way? Why do I need to go through the waters? And that is defining our religion today. I'm telling you, that is defining religion, the Christian religion today. The thought or theory of affliction is giving the Christian religion a new face. Christians no longer believe that affliction is a part of the gospel. Affliction, for them, is no longer a part of the message. And so, the religions of the world are offering the people Christianity without affliction. Christianity without suffering. Christianity that will not take you through the water, the fire. And you know, it's like penny wise, pound foolish, because you will suffer whether you are a Christian or not. You will still suffer. Because the man that is born of a woman is full of trouble and is of a few days. You can't run away from that. So you don't want to suffer. You don't want anything that bothers you. You don't want anything that gives you pain, but you go through pain anyway.
Amen.
You still go through pain. You go through heartaches. Young ladies in my church, I used to encourage them. You know, you are in the church and you are sure. You are certain that you are going to have peace of mind when you want to get married. When you are a child of God and you are saved and you are in the house of God, you are in the congregation of the church of God, you don't have much worries. You're not afraid that, you know, a young man is going to come around you and deceive you and dump you somewhere. You know, out there in the world, they suffer so much. This boyfriend is going to marry me. After a while, another boyfriend is going to marry me. After that, another boyfriend is going to marry me. And so they keep jumping like that. But they don't want to come into the church because they feel they don't have the kind of husband that they want. So you don't want to suffer, but you are suffering. So which one do you want? So he said, you go through the fire, I'm there. So I want to suffer. If God is there with me, I'm all right. If I'm going through pains, if God is there with me, I'm fine. And I grew up with my father, and sometimes when I'm going through hard times and he's there and he's discussing with me on how to solve that problem, it's like it's not a problem. Because I know somebody is watching and is sharing. It's giving me hope that what I'm going through is not new. It's possible to defeat it. So God has not promised you that the road will be rosy. He didn't say that you are going to have a smooth ride all the way. And that's why I love Jesus Christ. No deceit, no confusion, no hidden charges, no hidden charges. And I think the regulators are forcing the service providers to say conditions apply. Conditions apply don't explain the conditions. It's vague. When you say conditions apply, it's so vague. What are the conditions? Reveal it so that I know what to do. The devil is like that. He tells you no condition.
Right.
It's free. Yeah, many times I try to download some free things on the internet. Free, free. When you go there, it say register. After that, it said no free. Nothing is free. But he got me there by saying free. The devil is deceitful.
Yes.
He's a deceiver. He's a liar from the beginning.
Yes.
He's the father of it. He never abode in the truth. So when he speaketh a lie, he speaks of himself. That's what he's made of. Lies. And so he keeps deceiving you. Come this way. It's fine here. It's easier here. Put it in here. Go through this road. It's easier. It's shorter. Can't you see people? So many people going through it and making it. You keep taking the steps. And the more steps you take, the farther the road is. You say, keep trying. You're not there yet. You're almost there. You keep trying. You're going. You're getting lost. By the time you look back, No, you don't have any chance of returning. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for this way that he has revealed unto us. So clear. My yoke is easy. There's a yoke, but it says it is easy. My burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So God has not promised us something that is impossible. God has not lied to us. And that is why he sent his son. To go through that way so that you know that there's a way there.
Yes.
He went through it so that you don't think that, how did he get there? There's a way. You can't see it, but just keep going. He has passed through it, so there's a way. And you know, we like, when we were growing up, you don't like to go to the farm when the rain falls. When it rains, you don't want to go to the farm. You know why? The bushes have covered the roads, the little path, and they are wet. So when you are going through it, you are soaked before you get out. And so you always want somebody to go ahead of you. And the Lord has done that for us.
Amen.
He has done that for us.
Amen.
And so we can be sure that there's a way there. Maybe difficult, may look confusing, but he's going. I had the opportunity of going through dangerous paths some years back. We have an agency in Nigeria, the National Drug Law Enforcement Agency. And they took us, we had to follow them to see what they were doing. They had discovered some plantations, some marijuana plantations in the deep forest of the Southwest. A very deep forest. You don't know, no roads in there. But how they got there, nobody knew. They got into the forest and they did very large farms of cannabis. And so they somehow discovered it and they wanted us to go and see it as reporters. We're not soldiers, we're not policemen, we don't know how to carry guns, but they said, come and see. So we went with them. So it was night. We had to walk because it was not motorable. You have to trek for like 7 hours trekking. It was killing, but we made it. But what am I trying to bring out? It was so dark that if you don't follow closely the next person, you miss the way. You have to follow quickly. Follow quickly. It was dark and it was a forest. If you stay behind a little and the next person ahead of you has made a turn, you're likely going to miss your way. And so we have to have that confidence. The road may be rough, but the one who is leading us knows the way. Amen. And that is why I say, don't be afraid. I know the way. I'm going to lead you through. I'm not going to leave you alone. So when it says you are going through the fire or water, it's referring to the troubles that we face. We are living in a time of trouble. We are living in a time where we are so uncertain about what next is going to happen. The world is in turbulence. Maybe not here. Maybe, yes, where I live, you have to be very careful. Sometimes when my children are going to school, I may just walk out on the street and stand on the end of the street and still watching, make sure they walk straight and make that turn. And before I go back into the room, and you have to be very careful because kidnappers are there, robbers are there. You may not know what will cause a trouble. Maybe a religious crisis. Maybe a mullah just made an announcement in the mosque on Friday morning, afternoon, and the zealots are out there cutting throats and killing people. And you can have a bomb explosion somewhere, and so on and so forth. People are living in fear everywhere in the world. But the Bible says, be not afraid. And my pastor told me a story one day. He said he was traveling in a plane, and he was sitting by a co-passenger. So the plane kind of dipped, you know, and then the man held the seat. And so he told the man, that thing you are holding is what is falling. So why are you worried? Why are you worried? That thing you are holding is what is falling. And you are going to fall with it. So brethren, we don't have to be afraid. We have to be strong. Why? Is it by our strength? No. The one that we are following is strong. The God that we serve is a mighty God. And there's nothing that he cannot do. He speaks the whole world to being. He made the earth. He created all things. And there's nothing that frightens me more than God's creation. God's creation frightens me. I'm telling you. You ever got in a small boat and you're on the sea and you think you are a man, you think you are very wise and bold. And then you are in a boat on the waters and then it moves you left, right, and then you will know how to pray. And then you're taken by a plane into the clouds, beyond the clouds, and you try to peer through the window and you see the vastness of creation, and you want to talk about science, you want to talk about scientists, and you don't see God, it's a shame. So they talk about meteors. I was listening to radio yesterday, and it was talking about asteroid or something, I don't know. It's talking about, they said they want to go to one place, there's one asteroid there, the asteroid or something, and it's very far away, building a rocket to take them there. Who placed it there? Excuse me. The Lord himself made all those things. I know why people here find it very difficult to believe the power of God, because they've not seen the power of Satan. as much as we do in Africa.
Yes.
You don't see the power of the devil, and you don't see you tend to complain too much. You say, Obama is not giving me enough money. It's not, the policies are not coming very well. It's not doing very well. You know, come over here. Come and see. You will come back and be singing praises to God.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth. Sometimes, unless you see the devil walking, you don't appreciate the power of God.
Yes.
You know, before now, I don't believe that any power can touch me. I'm a child of God. No power can come near me. So I remember I went to the village. My mother was warning me about a particular family. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. I said, no, I'm light. I can go anywhere. I went there. I ate. I slept. Came back. I said, nothing can happen to me. I'm a child of God. So I never really believed that, you know, anything can touch me. So I moved to this new area where I now live, and I find something different. Witchcraft everywhere. Little fetish things around. Envy. If somebody doesn't like your face, you're in trouble. If you are prospering in anything, you're in trouble. If you live in a house and your landlord thinks that you're making much money, after increasing your rent and you're still doing very well, something might happen. You know, I say, okay, well, not me. My wife had been complaining about a woman near her shop where she sells a few things. And I have always encouraged her to ignore her. But one day, something happened. And she came to the shop one morning and found blood sprinkled, fresh blood. So she was shocked and she was afraid. She prayed. After praying, she started doing her business. So I came later on in the day. I just came in and I didn't see the blood. I just walked in. I walked in, sat down. Immediately I sat down, I saw my eyes turned red. And then I saw myself, fire burning my back. Started from my head and then my chest and then my back, burning with fire. And when I stood up, I was falling. I couldn't walk straight. It was difficult for me to understand what was happening to me, but my wife knew what was going on. And I said to myself, no, this can't happen to me. So God never said you will not go through the fire. He never said so. He never said so. The devil can attack you if he wants, and if God allows him, he can do that. But what God promised is that you should not be afraid, because he's there. So I told myself, I said, I'm not going to die. Even if I'm going to die, God needs to reveal himself. So I said, God, yes, you want me to die? I'm ready. But do me a favor. Show that you are God and you are more powerful than this. That's all I want you to do. Kill me, but let it not go without showing that you are stronger and you are greater than all the powers put together on the earth.
Amen. Amen.
I thank the Lord. Fear came. Yes. Fear came. You know, fear is there. Oh, you're going to die now. You're going to die now. You're going to die now. I stood up. When it's time to go to my work, I will stand up and go to work. Yes, I may be falling, but I'm going to work. I'm walking. I'm going to work. I go to church. I preach. So the Lord is going to do something soon. Don't worry. The church started praying. We took a fast, 3 days. And then the devil took his flight. He started running away. You know, he moved from my head. When we started praying, he came to my chest area. When the prayer continued, he went to my stomach and my thighs. And then as the prayer continued, it went to my feet until it left. Praise the Lord. God showed me that he is there for me. And he can do anything. I don't need to worry. I don't need to be afraid. Amen. So God, when he says, don't be afraid, he knows that you are feeling the pain. He knows the fire is hurting. He knows that you are going through pains. He knows. He knows it. He knows it. But he wants to glorify himself. So we're praying for the woman that did it. We prayed for her. I told my wife, I said, one thing we are going to do is to make sure we do not hate her, to make sure we love her and pray for her. And it was also very shocking to me too, because I didn't know where I got that grace, but it was grace. It was grace. So we started praying for her. I said, God, have mercy on this woman. Let her know what she's done. Let her repent from her sin and all that. But God heard our prayers, but God said no. But I'm going to teach her a few lessons. Praise God. And you know what happened to the woman? The woman, first of all, lost her job there, drove her out of the place completely. She came begging, but no, she was not allowed back to that place. We would have wanted her to stay there, but God said no. So when you are faced with troubles and trials, God is willing to go with you as long as you are willing to stay with him. Amen. For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, and Seba for thee. There's another text I want us to read tonight. It's in Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Please, brother, read verse 5, please.
For his anger endureth but a moment.
For his anger endureth but for a moment.
In his favor is life.
In his favor is life.
Weeping may endure for a night.
Weeping may endure for a night.
But joy cometh in the morning.
But joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Night is a time where the sun goes down, when the sun fails to shine. The night period is very crucial. And when you are going through that pain, it is your night. When that sickness binds you and puts you down, that's your night. When you have that need and lack that makes you look rejected, that's your night. The night reduces vision. The time where you cannot see some of the things that you used to see, that's your night. Those things that give you joy when you look upon them and then you no longer see them, that's your night. That's your night. The night ushers in darkness. And darkness allows many things, many bad things to happen. And the devil loves darkness. So during the night, there are shadows and things you may not understand. Things don't take proper shape. And you think you are holding something, but it's giving way. That's your night. That's your night. It is a time where you feel that you are alone and all odds are against you. That's your night. You try many things and they are not working. And you think that God has abandoned you. That's your night. Your night is a time where you feel your pains become more aggravated. That's your night. I don't know how many of us have suffered toothache. Toothache at night. Your night is like 10 years. And it's like the carpenters have gone up your head. And they are trying to put a nail through it. Toothache, ear pain in the night, crushing. The pains are aggravated at night. And it's like, where is the daybreak? When will there be daybreak? That's your night. And you weep, you feel like all hope is lost. But the Bible says it is a night. Though weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. The Lord will ensure that your joy will be full. That night must come to an end. There is no night that remains night all night. It must come to an end. It is called night because it is finite. It must come to an end. It must come to an end. Your night, no matter how dark it is, when the sun rises, it disappears. In the morning, there will be sunshine and things will be clearer again. One night, my second child was sick. Around 1 a.m., my wife woke me up. You know, men sleep deeply. Women don't when they are nursing. They just sleep, you know, they are at the surface. So when the baby moves, they wake. So my daughter was very sick in the night. And you know, when you have a sick child at 1 a.m., you are in trouble. So I woke up. What is the matter? The child, okay? What do we do? Pray. Let's pray. So I laid my hands on the child. I prayed. After prayer, you know, the sleep was still there. You know, if you are very conscious and awake, and you could maybe be thinking, but I was not thinking. I was just praying. After prayers, I fell back to bed. My wife said, no sleep. Yes, we have prayed, but the sleep, no, you can't go to sleep. We have to do something more than prayers. I said, look, we have prayed, let's believe. I said, no. I know we have prayed, I believe, but no. Because of the situation of the child, she was afraid. So we got out of the house 1 a.m., got into the car, and drove off to a nearby general hospital. You know, I was driving. I was alone on the road because there was no traffic. Everybody had gone to sleep. It was midnight. I drove in quickly. The place was dark. This is a hospital, for God's sake. It was dark. The doors were shut. I was knocking on the doors. I was knocking. And somebody answered me and said, "Who is that?" I said, "Look, we have a case here." I said, "Can't you see that there's no light? There's no power here. Come back tomorrow." I looked at my wife and said, "Come back tomorrow." So I saw something, you know, rising inside me, you know, kind of anger, a kind of, you know, some courage came into me. I said, "What? God, if my child dies this night, I bury the child tomorrow morning, I go to work. I'm going home." We went into the car, drove home straight. My wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going home. There's a hospital down there." I said, "I'm not going there. I'm going back home." So I drove my car back home, went into the house and slept. In the morning, the child woke up before every one of us, and the child was playing in the sitting room. So our neighbors came in. You know, they saw us when we were leaving, so they knew we had an emergency. So they came in to greet us in the morning to find out what happened. The child was there. They met the child playing. I said, "This is the reason why we were going out last night." Let me tell you, when you think that all is lost, God starts showing you some things. Yeah. Amen. When you feel that you have exhausted the opportunities and you have gone to the extreme, God shows you more opportunities. Because that is what we all go through. We come to the point where we are embarrassed by the devil. I was having a problem, and I would like to tell it. It's funny, but you know, but God showed himself mighty. You know, every time I want to ease myself, I feel pains, some sharp pain. And I started having, you know, I thought it was just something that would be just a few minutes to go away. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week. So anytime I feel like going to ease myself, I'll be afraid. 1 month, I tried to read up some things about that, and I tried to find out what is going on. I said, "Okay, I'm going to go to a pharmacy somewhere and explain myself. Maybe he has something to do and to help me with." So I walked down there. I wanted to see the pharmacist. They said, "Wait." So I sat down. I waited. I came back and said, "I want to see the pharmacist, please." They said, "Just wait. He's busy." I waited. I felt embarrassed. I said, "God, I'm embarrassed. Take me out of this." I just got up from there. I said, I'm going home. I went home, I told my wife, said, "We take a fast." So we fasted. After the fasting, that same day, I was going out, and as I was driving, I saw something. Something just came to my mind. Some watermelon. Somebody was selling watermelon out there. And get some watermelon. Watermelon, that's what you need. So I packed. I bought some. Went home, ate plenty of watermelon. That was all. So the following day, I went to buy watermelon. I started eating watermelon. That was the solution to the problem. So sometimes, Satan would like to embarrass you. Read God has many ways to deliver his children. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him from them all. So, brethren, God showed himself when he went into the fire with the three Hebrew children, as we all know. He went in there with them because they stood for him. That king made a great image, 60 feet or 90 feet, 9 feet wide, 90 feet high of gold, and he wanted them to come and bow down and worship with the threat that if you do not bow down to worship this image, you'll be thrown into the fire. And those threats are still here today. These images are everywhere. If you don't bow, you pay. If you don't bow, you suffer. The devil is trying to raise a number of images before us. And if you don't bow, you know, I was reading about some things that happened here in the United States. And I was drawing some encouragement from a woman who refused to attend to a gay couple. And she was thrown into jail. That's a great image. And sometimes you can be afraid of what the law says. You can be afraid of what the government says. The church is in a very perilous time. But we need to see a church that can stand up to the authorities. But we fear sometimes. We fear, "Oh, well, that's the law. So sometimes I draw strength from the Muslims. The Muslims they have a law. Maybe in the U.S. they're kind of suppressed, but other places, they have a law. They don't care about your law. The Quran is their law. So when they want to pray on Fridays, they block the roads. Nobody passes. Yeah, no matter how wide the road is, they block it. They pray right there on the road. When they finish, then you can pass. So when government makes the law and say they should not wear hijab, oh, that would be trouble, real trouble. And sometimes I ask myself, sometimes the truth is brought to test. How do I stand for the truth? Am I afraid? When you don't challenge the devil, he thinks he's got you already. I tell you, just challenging him alone is enough to make him adjust himself. But to keep quiet is to say, yes, he's one. So they stood and said, no, we shall not bow to this image. We will not bow. Okay, the fire is there. Oh, yes. They first defeated fear. When you defeat your fears, you are ready to win. Victory is there when you overcome fear. So they first defeated their fears and said, look, yes, we are going into the fire. We believe our God is able to deliver us. But even if we are ready to go in. And some people quarrel with God over that. No, you have to deliver me. If you don't deliver me, you are no longer God. If you know you are God, deliver me. If you know you are God, deliver me. And so when you go through it, you say, see, God disappointed me. God failed me. Why did he not deliver me? And Paul was asking God to deliver him. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And when God says my grace is sufficient for you, it's because he wants to do something in your life. It's not because he just wants to punish you. Not because he just wants to give you a load to carry. No. It's because there's something good that is in you that has to come out. God doesn't take pleasure in you suffering. No, God doesn't take pleasure in you going through just because you need to be punished. Just because you need. Yes, he said, I will have a tribe, people. I'm going to try you as gold. Yes, that's true. But when you become gold, you know what that means. When you become gold, you're glittering. Your glory comes out. You shine. You are promoted. You become strong. One day we went to a brother's house. His child was very sick, very, very sick. So we prayed. We prayed and we thought God had healed the child. So we left. I went home to sleep. And the brother came in at about 12 and said, look, the sickness has doubled. And so the people in the house were kind of afraid. So we came back. So while we're praying, the woman was crying. The mother of the child was crying. Normally, you know, she was crying. So, you know, when the woman was crying, it was kind of instilling fear into our hearts. So we stopped praying. We asked the woman, have you given up? She said, no. I said, stop crying. God, we're still praying. The neighbors were awake all night because they wanted to hear the child was dead. We had to pray all night. We lifted up our faith to God because the child was convulsing and so many things were happening to the child. God heard our prayers. In the morning, we left. I took my clothes and everything. I went home. And the people came out and they were looking and watching. What happened? Fear had to be defeated for God to walk. When fear takes over you, you lose the battle before you start. There was a man who went to a shrine to, he said the spirit of God told him to go to a shrine to destroy the shrine. So when he went into the shrine and he was destroying the shrine, he fell down and became mute and stiff. Spirit of God told you to go and destroy the shrine. And the spirit of God was not there to defend you. So he said he had the spirit of God, but the demon had arrested him. And so there was crisis. So they had to call the priest of the shrine. He brought a demon to release the man who says he was having the spirit of God to destroy the shrine. A demon was used to free him and say, oh, why did you go there? You said you had the spirit of God telling you to go there. Oh, you see, people just do things. No. That you are courageous and you have faith and doesn't mean that you have to do things the way you feel. No, that's what I was talking about. And if you need to do what is right, do it. And you say, I have faith. Oh, yes, but you don't have to tempt God. Doesn't mean that you're afraid. Don't tempt God. When God is leading you, he's leading you and he's going to bring you to the end of it. But fear must not take you or it will ruin you and it will take away your testimony. Amen. Daniel went to the lion's den for truth. He stood for truth. He stood for what is right, and then he went to the lion's den, and God was there, just as he was with the three Hebrew children in the fire. God was there with Daniel in the lion's den. Paul and Silas, they were arrested and held in prison. The Bible says, in the night, they praised God. They prayed and sang praises to God, God came down and they were set free. God was there. And I want to assure you that God is still doing the same work today. God will do the same for you today. If you stand with the Lord, He will stand with you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
Amen.
For God is with me. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. Because His rod and His staff, His word and His spirit, they are there. You are holding the power of God. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be witnesses. Witnesses. Real witnesses. Not just telling what somebody said. You will be telling what God did for you. Yes, there is nothing as convincing about what God did in your life. When I lost that job, I went home. I said, oh God, you know what? You know, a lot of people depend on that job. A lot of people depend on that job. And then, how do you want me to go about it? So I started praying to God. Somebody had asked me to join the company, a particular company, long ago. And he said I should come because he knew that I was honest. And I was doing my job honestly, and I wasn't making much money. If you're doing very honestly, you may not be making much money if you're a journalist. So he joined the company, and they were paying very well. He said, I should come over. But I didn't need to stay in a place where I'm earning less when I can come in and do better. So after praying with my wife, I told him, I'm not interested in coming over because I don't have any other reason to come because it's just money. And I don't want to change job because I just want to earn more money. I want to have more reason to do that. I didn't know that I had sown a seed that is going to grow. That company collapsed shortly after that. And then those who were there came out and created another company out of it and started running an online newspaper. So when I lost my job, this man came back to me and said, you've lost your job, what are you doing now? I said, no, I'm not doing anything, I'm still just at home. He said, why don't you help us do something? I said, give me a job. He said, no, we can't pay you. We're small. We don't give people jobs. We want to partner with you. Come and partner with us. God, you know, can keep things waiting for you. But you can't be afraid and you don't get there where God has planted those things. Fear can take you away from that direction. There are no jobs in Nigeria, but I've never run around looking for jobs. I've never done that. Never go dropping applications here and there. No, no, no. Not because I'm better than those who are doing that. Because God was doing it for me. God was taking care. So if I am afraid, I'm not doing God. I'm not grateful to God. I'm belittling the power of God. Tonight, brethren, I was just trying to emphasize or stress what we've heard in the songs. That God is there, even in the valley. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is there. Even when you die, God is there. Whatever you are going through, God is there. James chapter 1, we know that scripture very well. Let us read that for a closing tonight. James 1, 2, and 3.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
When you fall into diverse temptations.
I don't know if anybody rejoices when you're going through trials. But you can rejoice when you know that the Lord is leading you to a higher ground. Only when you know where you are going. Only then can you rejoice. When you know the Lord's hand is right on your shoulders. Then you can rejoice. So I thank God. I thank God for what has happened. God has something better for me. God is opening new doors. God wants to raise me to a new level. God wants to break me and make me a better person. When you know where God is taking you, you will rejoice. It will not be difficult for you to rejoice. You will be grateful to God. Please read on.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
The trial of your faith worketh patience. Many of us, we are not patient. We're not patient at all. We don't have patience. If it's not working according to plan, then something is terribly wrong. We forget that we are children of God and that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. We tend to forget that we are in God's hand. And because things go wrong, it means that all things are wrong. No, That shouldn't be the calculation of God's children. We are God's children. Even when we make mistakes, we are still God's children. And God will always bring us back to where we ought to be. Disappointments? No. Patience. God wants to work out patience in our lives. The more we are patient, the more we see God move. The more we understand His principles. Many of us don't understand God's principles. Why did God take them through the Red Sea? When Jacob and his family were coming, they traveled for 40 days. They didn't go through that Red Sea, but that road was still there when God took them through the other road. It doesn't sound well to an ordinary man, but God's principle is perfect. When God is taking you through that road, don't complain. Otherwise, you double the time you are going to use to travel that journey. You submit to God, and your patience is built and established. When your patience is built and established, you become a better person. Please read on.
But let patience have her perfect work.
Amen.
That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Amen. When patience has finished its work, you become perfect, rounded, well-rounded in the course of the gospel. You don't start running because you just heard a gunshot. It might just be a knockout. It might just be a firecracker. And you know, Elijah was trying to know God. He wanted to see God. He was in trouble. He was running from a wicked queen. And then he came to a place and he heard something. He saw fire. And he ran there, thought the Lord was there, and the Lord was not there. And then there was a storm, and he ran. And behold, the Lord was not there. There was an earthquake. It was an earthquake. And behold, the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then he heard a still, small voice. When we begin to learn to listen and to hear, when our ears can understand the still, small voice, then we are ready to go. Then we are mature. We are perfect. And then we can follow God and we will not fail. We will not be moved. We will be like Mount Zion. We will never be removed because we understand God's hand. When it moves, we know. Even the signs, we can read the signs. We can read the handwriting because we know how He works. We know His principles. We become mature. We become perfect. And only then our race will be sweeter. We will run the race happily. And then some things that you hear or you say will no longer be said. And people will wonder why you are happy when things seem so rough and tough. It is because you see things that they do not see. Because you have learned to walk with God. You have learned to follow Him through darkness, through the fire, through the water. And He promised, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God bless you.